pastor and janitor in Lexington for a few days visiting with the girls. So let's open our Bibles to Isaiah 53. Begin in verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. We'll end our reading there. Sean, come.
Okay, if you would, turn to song number 17, Come Thou Fount.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Okay, if you would now turn to song number 176, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to be to me. As thou didst bless the bread by Galilee, give me bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love. O, send thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed I see the Lord.
Open your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, we'll just read the first two verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We'll end our reading. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a people. Lord, we pray you'd bless us. Bless us with your presence. Lord, grant it that we've not met in vain. Lord, we pray, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, that you'd be in the midst of them. Lord, we pray for your presence here tonight. Lord, that you bless the preaching and hearing of thy word. Lord, we thank you for your many, many blessings upon us. Lord, above all, we give you thanks for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We desire to know more of him. Lord, cause us to rest in the Savior. Lord, for those of our number in a time of trouble and difficulty, we pray you'd be with your people, you'd comfort, strengthen, courage as only you can. And Lord, in all things, teach us to look to thee. Lord, not to this arm of flesh, not to the things of this world, but to look to thee and rest in thee alone. Now again, we thank you for this time of worship. Lord, we pray that in all that's said and done, Lord, that it might be to thy glory. Now again, set aside the thoughts and cares of this world. Let us see Christ. For it's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen.
of sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place against the God that rules the sky. I fought with hand uplifted high, despised his rich abounding grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, almighty love arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew, but justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. And long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared, led me on with gentle pace to Jesus Christ. What a hiding place! Should storms of thundering vengeance roll and shake the earth from pole to pole, no flaming bolt shall daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me safe on Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the song of grace and see, Lord Jesus, my hiding place.
We must have a hiding place. Aren't we thankful? Open your Bibles again to Psalm 46. Here in verse 1, we read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I can't think of a time when that text isn't appropriate. God is our refuge. A shelter from the rain, from a storm, from danger, a refuge from falsehood. It can mean a place of hope, a place of safety. There's only one, God. is our refuge. In times of danger, in times of distress, in times of trouble, we flee to Him and Him alone. God is our refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is God and yet man, is the sinner's refuge. Now there is another refuge mentioned in Scripture. After reading of this refuge, I don't know why we would ever flee to another. But we're warned. There's more than one refuge. And this other is, it's truly no refuge, but it's mentioned in God's Word. In Isaiah 28:15, the prophet Isaiah writes, "Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we've hid ourselves." Many have a false refuge. I would say many religious folks, probably more so, have a false refuge. And one day, those under that false refuge will perish under the wrath and justice of Almighty God. In Matthew 7, we read this, and this is our Lord speaking. He said, "Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in your name cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works?" That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And he says this, Then shall I profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. In Isaiah 29, verse 13, we read this, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips," they draw near with their mouth and with their lips they do honor me. Oh, they talk about God. They talk about a man named Jesus. Maybe they even talk a little bit about sin. But it's just lip service. He said, "They've removed their heart far from me, and their fear is taught by the precept of man." That word precept, it means law and ordinance. Taught by law. Not by love, but by law. A false refuge. A hiding place of lies. See, though they talk about sin, they have the wrong idea about what sin is. It's much more than our actions. It's much more than our deeds, what we do. It's our nature. It's who and what we are. I once had a friend tell me this, and he was as sincere as he could be. He said he had went 7 years without committing sin. And we laugh, because we know that's just impossible. He believed that to be true. How can that be? He knew nothing about what sin was. Listen to what David said. David was a man, the scriptures say David was a man after God's own heart. And he said this about sin. He said, "My sin is ever before me." A wrong idea about sin. A wrong idea about the love of God. We put it on t-shirts. We put it on bumper stickers. Put it on billboards. God is love. And He is love. No mistake in that. God is love. But God is also just and holy and righteous. And He's going to punish sin. He's absolutely going to punish sin. His law is going to be honored. His justice is going to be satisfied. That's why Christ was made a man. That's why Christ was made sin for His people. Almighty God is love in Christ. He's merciful in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God in one place, in one person, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But men follow that false refuge. A religious profession, huh, that doesn't produce fruit. Men say they're saved. How can that be? Yet they hate God's word. They hate what the scriptures say. They say they're saved, but they refused to bow to the sovereign God. They claim to love God, yet they hate their neighbor. They hold to a profession, an experience, walking down an aisle, saying a so-called sinner's prayer. That isn't a refuge. That isn't a refuge. Holding their hand up to the TV screen. I suspect if they felt anything, it was static. Right? A false refuge. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Look, beginning with verse 14 of Isaiah 28. "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth in me shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place." A refuge of lies is not going to stand. Not a false refuge. Thank God we have this refuge spoken of over in Psalm 46. God is our refuge. That same refuge typified back in those Old Testament cities of refuge. Turn with me back to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. If two men were out in the woods chopping down a tree, cutting firewood, and that axe, the head of that axe flew off and hit the other man in the head and killed him. He'd killed a man. He hadn't done it. He hadn't intended to do that. He hadn't purposed to kill that man, but that had happened. And a member of that man's family could come after him, the avenger of blood, to kind of settle the score. He could kill that man. Somebody needed refuge there, didn't they? And that's what we read of here. Look at verse 4. And when he that doth flee unto those cities shall stand at the entering of that gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest, that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, come to his own city, and to his own house, and to the city from whence he fled. Now just a few points, a few familiar points, I hope, from this passage of Scripture this evening concerning a refuge. More importantly, not just any refuge, Christ, our refuge. Now the Lord instructed Israel to designate these cities of refuge. Again, a refuge, a hope, a safe habitation, a place or a person to whom they could flee, and be safe and secure from danger. Again, God. What does Scripture say? God is our refuge. And these cities of refuge, they point to the Lord Jesus Christ. The cities of refuge, first, they were appointed by God. We just read that there in verse 1 of Joshua 20, if you still have it. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spoke unto you by the hand of Moses. By God's decree, by God's will, by His word, these cities of refuge were appointed for one purpose, as a place of safety, a place to flee from the avenger of blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, that one beloved of the Father, it was by God's will and by God's appointment that He was made our surety. He was made our high priest. He was made our righteousness. He's the Lord, our righteousness. He was made our redeemer. He was made our Savior. Look over in John chapter 3. What do the scriptures say? Look at John chapter 3. Look at verse 6, beginning with verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Call his name Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sin. He was appointed. The Lord Jesus Christ was appointed of God. These cities of refuge, they were located so it was always convenient for somebody to flee to. They were close enough. There was always a city of refuge close by. You could get there without much difficulty. There were signs showing the way. The trails were to be kept clear at all times. No obstructions. Well, Christ our refuge is near unto his people. That's what the scriptures say. Listen to Acts chapter 17. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. He's determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation for this purpose, that they should seek him, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. He's near unto his people. What did it say? Though he be not far from any one of us. Scriptures say this, for in him we live and move and have our being. And the scriptures, like guideposts, they all point the same direction. They all point to him. Old Testament to New Testament. They point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord speaking in John 5:24, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, been taken from life, from death to life. The scriptures, all of God's word, point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, though we fail at it miserably, those of us who preach his word, our desire is to move all obstructions. To not confuse folks with anything, but to have but one message, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. To preach Christ and Christ alone. To declare with boldness, yet with compassion, him who loved us and gave himself for us. Well, the manslayer was to flee immediately. Why would you, if you knew what was coming, huh? You just killed someone's brother, and he's coming. He's coming to even the score. There's a place of safety. Why would a man linger? Why would a man stand around and wait? Why would anyone delay? Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said this, now is the accepted time. Behold, now. When? Now. Now is the day of salvation. Why would we wait? Why would we linger? Well, to be safe, the manslayer had to be in the city. He had to be in the city. Now, knowing about the city would be good. Standing near the city, I guess that would be good as well. Reciting facts about the city, knowing every detail about it. That's not what saves a man. You had to be in the city. The manslayer would, listen, he didn't have time to go home and pack his bags and check on things at the house. He was to leave all and flee to the city of refuge. Listen to what the scriptures declare. But of him are ye in. Where? In. In Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And that's the same picture that's painted throughout scriptures. Back in Noah's time, there was one place of safety. It didn't matter if you knew all the measurements or the blueprint of the ark. You had to be in the ark. That manslayer, one place of safety, in the city of refuge. And listen, for the sinner, one place, in Christ. To be found in him. Just as the manslayer had to be in the city, he had to stay in the city. There was no spending a few days there and then heading back out. To leave meant one thing. It meant death. Certain death. Turn to Numbers 35. Numbers chapter 35. Be surprised how encouraging it is to hear pages turning. Look at Numbers 35. Look at verse 26. If the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he has fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, then the revenger of blood shall kill the slayer, and he shall not be guilty of his blood. Listen, to deny Christ, to depart from Christ, is to perish. It's to perish. The believer. Well, here's what's encouraging. The true believer, he cannot and he will not depart from Christ. He said, of all that the Father gave me, he said, I won't lose one of them. Turn to Colossians 1. Look, beginning with verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith. There's the evidence. His people will continue. Continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And last, those who made it to the city of refuge, those who made it there before the avenger of blood overtook them, they were completely saved and delivered from death. Turn back to Joshua again. Joshua 20. Look at verse 9. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whoso killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die. And not die by the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. That man was safe, safe and secure. And all that come to God by Christ, by his righteousness, by his blood, all that come to him before death and wrath overtake them are forever and eternally saved, free from condemnation. Scriptures declare this: there is therefore now. When is that? Now, right now. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not a refuge of lies. Not a false refuge, but a true refuge. One that delivers. And he delivers his people from spiritual death and gives them eternal life in his Son. Why would a man linger? Why would a man not flee right now? Right now to him. Turn back with me quickly to Psalm 46. I find it difficult to just read one verse of this passage. But let's look with this in mind, with Christ our refuge in mind, let's read this. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though it be changed, however it might be changed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Everything we know and familiar with, carried into the very midst of the sea. Listen, if everything's removed, God's still present. He never leave or forsake his people. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, those noises that cause the heart to fail for fear, though the waters there roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, confusion and disorder in this world, isn't that what we see? Every day. But listen, by his word, there's no cause to fear. There is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her. He said, I in them, and thou in me. God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. David said that to Goliath. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Those things that are designed to harm, he destroys them. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. I can remember as a kid being told that a lot. I can remember us telling our boys that a lot. Be still. Just sit and wait with patience. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob. Think about that. What do we do? Jacob was horrible, wasn't he? He was a supplanter. He was a thief. Our pastor, we've heard much about Jacob, but he wasn't Jacob forever. I've changed his name to Israel, Prince. That's our God. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Or aren't we thankful for such a refuge? And then it ends with that word, Selah. Nobody knows what that means, but everybody says it means this. Stop and consider what's being said there. All right. May God be pleased to bless His Word. Calls us to rest in Christ our refuge. All right.
Okay, if you would, stand and turn to song number 209, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you make me today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that grace, grace.